Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what's up on the rafters up there, but there's a little seat in like each window, unless those are fans. But there was a guy rolling around on a cart up there, and I want to take that ride and just take the like the selfie stick and stick it on the outside and just take a recording of like the entire area of Radio Row down here. Obviously, not a whole lot of people here yet. They'll get here though. They're starting to wake up. I was walking into the lobby, kind of walking around, get a little coffee with a little almond milk. They were starting to come up the escalators and start to wake up. We've obviously been 2.5 hours ahead of them. As we are live at Radio Row here for you in New Orleans as we give you coverage of the big game of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. We are live on Radio Row New Orleans, brought to you by the Academy of Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. Mr. Fesco, there is an article that is out, right, about the top storylines of the Super Bowl. We try to guess these on Friday.
Yeah.
And I think we did pretty well. We picked up a Yahoo article and thought we'd see what theirs were. Some of them were the three-peat hatred. Some of them were Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I'm interested to know what their number one storyline is.
Well, I think if you're looking at the New York Post, their number one storyline is the Saquon Barkley effect. I think as the week goes on, that is going to become a bigger and bigger storyline, because I do believe that he is the guy that America is rooting for right now. He's Patrick Mahomes of 4 years ago, you know, in the Super Bowl for the first time, somebody that everybody started to root for this year, had a dynamic season, did things we've never seen before. Like, Saquon Barkley was an electric football player and showed the world how good he could have been.
He's also likable.
Yeah, I'm going to get to with Patrick Mahomes, likable type of guy as well. And you know, Saquon Barkley is the type of guy that you can root for, no matter what team you're a fan of, except the Chiefs this week. Saquon Barkley, I think, is that guy that every fan base looks at that guy and goes, man, I'd like to see him win a championship. Like, he's just an easy guy, a fun guy to root for, and I think everybody still kind of feels a little bit sorry for him that he was in New York and had to waste all those years and all that talent either being hurt or playing on a bad team. And now he gets that first opportunity to show how good a football player he really is, and he gets that chance to do that. Because I think in life, I think Saquon Barkley is a good example for a lot of us that have been held down before, not had the opportunity to do everything we wanted to for whatever reason, and then you finally get that opportunity, and not only did you kick the door down, you destroyed that door and ran right through it, and now here you sit on the Super Bowl. So I think Saquon Barkley is going to be one of the biggest storylines from a football perspective that everybody's talking about this week, and I think we're going to hear more people say, I want to see Saquon Barkley get a Super Bowl championship than we will Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, anybody else inside that organization. Saquon Barkley is going to be the sympathetic choice for a lot of people to see win a Super Bowl. And if the Eagles do win this game, I mean, Saquon Barkley probably going to be your MVP of this game, because I think that's the only way that the Eagles do win this game is if Saquon Barkley absolutely takes over and is a beast out there running the football. And if he is, then he should get the MVP in the Super Bowl. So I do. I think he is kind of that number one storyline from a player standpoint that everybody's going to be watching. And then obviously the three-peat has to be the other big storyline in this as well, because the Chiefs are trying to do something that has never, ever been accomplished before. And when you have something like that, that kind of narrative usually does take over.
Yeah, I like the Saquon Barkley aspect and the fact that he is the perfect, you know, protagonist, and that we talked about earlier. He's the typical protagonist in this whole movie that we're watching, which is Philadelphia versus Kansas City, Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans.
Like, right.
Right, like, Mahomes was cool. about 3 years ago.
Right.
Right? Everybody was like, oh, this guy's just wicked talented. Like, he's you know, he's the next Tom Brady. Be careful what you wish for. You know, and you see that happen. Like, winning becomes evil, I guess, is the way you can look at it, right? Like, Steph Curry became hated. When Golden State, we talk about this all the time, when Golden State was doing their thing, it was, you know, it was cool. And then we started nitpicking, chewing on the mouthpiece and, you know, turning before the shot went in, which is absolutely sick. Like, if you're a sports geek and you can see a guy shoot a three and then turn around and walk down the court before it's even fallen in. But, like, you look at, you know, this is the new. Like, right, like, people forget, like, that's how much of a dominant factor a three-peat is and how dominant the Chiefs have been throughout this entire run is that people forget that Philadelphia was just here 2 years ago, and their head coach sucks. Like, I'm sorry, like, Philly can get mad at me for saying that drop, but, like, Nick Sirianni is not a guy that people root for. Big Dom, that whole storyline's kind of, like, it's kind of clownish. And, you know, like, you look at the attitude of this team earlier in the year. It was like, Jalen Hurts sat down and was like, was that what y'all wanted? Like, first off, the media and us were not wanting you to throw the ball. That was your team. That was your receiver saying that they need to get you the ball or you need to get them the ball. So when you address the media and say, are you all happy with that? Like, that wasn't us, man. Like, that still was Philadelphia this year. And within a matter of 6 weeks, oh, they play the big bad wolf, the Chiefs. Like, you know, here come the Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles. Man, I really like this Saquon guy. You know, I think it's fine that A.J. Brown's reading on the sidelines. Like, it's funny how your perspective changes over the fact that you're going against the dominant factor, which is the Kansas City Chiefs, for a three-peat. I, for one, am a little slightly, maybe I shouldn't be flabbergasted, that, you know, that this sort of significance of history is hated that much that nobody wants to see it. But if not the Chiefs, then who?
Right.
Like, who would you like? Because here's the thing, Bob, is if the Lions were going for a three-peat, people are like, ah, whoever's playing the Lions, I don't care. Like,
right.
You know, and that's a team that everyone has rooted for, even like us as people that have seen greatness over the last 7 years. You're still hoping the Lions at some point, man, I'm rooting for you to get one. I hope you get one someday. And even if they were en route to a three-peat, I think people be like, I'm just kind of tired of Campbell. The whole, like, narrative of Jared Goff, you know, it's like, it's so, like, it's just crazy that literally Sirianni, the most annoyed coach in the league by most people that watch, and A.J. Brown, who was not a team guy, now everybody's rooting for that team because they don't want to see a team who's done it three times in a row, clean, respectful, and honest.
Well, but I think Saquon Barkley does add to that, though. Like the good of Saquon Barkley and who he is and what he's not been able to accomplish in his career, I think outweighs all of that. I think people root for the good in Saquon Barkley as opposed to rooting against the bad.
He's the most likable part of that team.
I mean, and he's one of the most likable guys in all of the NFL. Mm-hmm. And if he's on your team, you love Saquon Barkley to death. And even if he's not on your team, you love Saquon Barkley. So I do. I think he's going to have a major impact all week long about what people are talking about. And
so he's Mike Trout.
Yeah. I won anything.
But came from a bad franchise. Like, if he were to go play for the Yankees, you'd be like, sucks he plays for the Yankees, but kind of like Mike Trout. Yeah, at least he's going
to
get one.
Yeah, you'd like to see more. Or he goes to the Dodgers. Or like if he goes there.
They're running out of roster spots. Man, they got to cut guys with 182 ERAs.
They're going to have to cut guys making $182 million because they don't have enough room on their roster for everybody that they're signing. But, no, I do. I think Barkley is the number one storyline behind the three-peat. And then what I hope is not a storyline, but it's already been discussed around Radio Row, and we've been here since, you know, 5:30 this morning or whatever it has been the referees. Like, I really hope the referees are not visible in this game on Sunday, because I don't want anything to try to tarnish or ruin or get in the way of what the Kansas City Chiefs are going to try to do. And that's what people are going to want to do. They're going to want to find a reason why the Kansas City Chiefs aren't deserving of this, because I do think this week, from a national standpoint, there is going to be a lot of running down, if you will, of the Chiefs. It's going to be a pro-Philly week on the national media, and it's going to be like, okay, the Chiefs are here, the referees have an impact on the game, and all this kind of stuff. So I just hope when Sunday comes along, the referees do not have an impact on the game, and they're not somebody and something that gets involved in this game, because I don't want to be sitting here on Monday morning talking about officials and how a call went the way of the Kansas City Chiefs and didn't go way of the Philadelphia Eagles. But everybody's going to be sitting around waiting for that one call that they perceive to be unfair, or the call that they perceive to be rigged by Roger Goodell, that's going to kind of set the tone for everything that happens in that Super Bowl game. So people are waiting for that as well in this one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's you know, I don't know. It's just the fatigue you just bring up, all that sort of stuff. I get it. It's, you know, you, the agony of it.
But I have fatigue as well with the Philadelphia Eagles, because I sit here and I look at everything that they've done, and all we see is about Howie Roseman, and how great Howie Roseman is. Nobody is talking about the legacy that Brett Veach has created here in Kansas City and the legacy that's been created by him as being the general manager of this football team. And I think that is a lost storyline as well that I would guess most people in the football world who are fans probably have heard the name Howie Roseman. Many don't know who Brett Veach is. And so they're praising this guy who's won one Super Bowl as a general manager.
He's assembled this great roster for the Raiders.
He could be. Assembled this great roster for the Philadelphia Eagles. And meanwhile, people are spitting on Brett Veach and acting like, you know, he hasn't done anything. And who is this guy? Because Andy Reid has taken over. But, like, where is the love for a general manager who has created this roster and has the foresight and vision to move on from players before fans are ready to move on for him, even though it's the right thing to do? So, give that guy credit.
We're broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. And also, the big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at CommunityAmericaCredit.com. Coming up on the other side, DJ. Live, coming here, over the phone, on the air, in New Orleans, in Kansas City, all on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Diving right back into it, live from Radio Row on a Monday, covering the big game against the Eagles and the Chiefs. Gigantic football matchup. Extraordinary event on Sunday, February 9th. I don't know how many other ways you can do it, but, man, I'm getting ready. You start to kind of, you know, look around, get the feels, see the sights, soak it in. The shock factor wears off. I don't know how, you know, people's week go back home. I know from past experiences, you get over Monday, and then the rest of the week kind of starts to become a gravy train on biscuit wheels, right? You start to kind of get to the feel of, you're like, okay, well, tomorrow's Wednesday. And then, hell, Friday is a really fun day. And then by the time you get to Saturday, you're just like, all right, let's just have an easy night. We know tomorrow's a Super Bowl, you know, yada, yada, yada. But it is that time of the year. And once again, the Chiefs sit here. We'll have Derek Johnson join us here shortly on our show here on Fesco and Dusty. But I think I found something that Bob finds quite annoying.
Oh, wow. Okay, what's that? That's a long list.
I feel like he, on the escalator, not a fan of people that just stand.
No, get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, dude, I just watched it. We went for coffee and refills, and I'm like, you going up to it? He's like, yes. And I'm you're not going anywhere. I mean, I'm watching him go up, and I'm just like, good luck.
You're right here with me, buddy.
Wall.
I mean, I could have said, could you please move? And I was like, yeah, we're almost to the top. But, like, on the moving walkways or escalators, stand to your right, walk to your left.
Absolutely.
It's not that hard. That's it really fair. Isn't.
It's like
not.
The airport. Do you do the...
As I just said, the moving walkway or the escalators, walkway. Move to your right, walk to your left. Yes.
It's tough. But, yeah, I could just feel the frustration.
Yeah, the tension of just...
I was watching
it up there.
It's just self-absorbed people. I just don't have time today for this. We're in a society here, man. Move out of the way. Let people do their thing and
move
forward.
It's a society, Costanza.
It is. Yeah. I mean, we're in a society. I mean, here, I'm trying to walk up the escalator. You're just standing there taking your time to get up to the top because you don't care where you're going. You're not in a rush. I am. Move over.
Yeah.
His show doesn't start till 10.
Yeah. It's interesting when we talk about the hatred for the Chiefs and everything like that. I mean, I still, we do this every week. I feel like we have this conversation every single week. I understood the Patriots hate. I understood the non-like for maybe like the Rams when they were considered the greatest show on turf, a name they gave themselves, maybe. But, I mean, I guess the winner's fatigue is a real thing, and I never thought it would be a real thing.
Well, I don't know, you know, when we sit back and think about, like, the Patriots fatigue. I look at it completely different than these two teams are, like, related. I know they are, but it's not. It's a different run than what the Patriots went on. The Patriots had a fun run when they first started this thing, just kind of like the Chiefs did. But then they developed themselves to be total heels. They developed themselves to be cheaters. And they developed themselves to be a very unlikable bunch. And when you have all of that kind of, you know, kind of come together as one, you're looking at a situation where, yeah, hatred is going to be developed. And New England embraced that hatred, as they should have. I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to embrace that hatred, and you want to embrace being a cheater, and you want to embrace being a cheater again. And, you know, all that kind of stuff that went with that New England dynasty, you embrace that kind of stuff when you're in those cities. But that's the difference between what we're looking at right now with the Chiefs and what we're thinking about with, you know, this dynasty compared to that dynasty. They're not a hated group of players and a group of people like the Patriots were. Like the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, I don't think you hated the Dallas Cowboys. Like, you didn't like them, but they weren't like a hated bunch of guys. They weren't out there cheating and compromising the game and all that kind of stuff. They were having fun off the field, and I'm sure people didn't like that. But from an on-field standpoint, they weren't cheating. You know, the 49ers were never like a team that everybody hated because they were doing things out of the norm. I think the Patriots dynasty and the way that that all went down with the cheating has now given everybody the perception of this is how dynasties are. And instead of embracing them for what they are, rare, unique, and awesome, we try to find ways to poke holes in them because of what the New England Patriots did and how all of that went down. And even if you want to take it one step further, I mean, the Houston Astros in baseball, I know we're sitting by the Houston people, they were cheaters as well and kind of, you know, gave, you know, the sport a bad name like that and gave dynasties a bad name. Oh, Houston only won all those years because they cheated. And so now people think if you're winning and you're establishing success for a long period of time, you must be doing something wrong. You must be cheating. You must be skirting the system. The referees must be on your side. The commissioner's in your pocket. There's no way that you can just do this normal and you can do this because you work harder and are smarter and better than everybody else. And that's the big problem that I have with the hatred towards the Kansas City Chiefs, is that we sit in a spot right now in life where instead of praising this team for literally doing everything the right way, people are trying to find ways to knock them down because the Patriots blazed this trail of nastiness the 20 years prior to all of this. So instead of embracing a dynasty and talking about how great it is, it's how is this happening? It must not be real. They're cheating, as opposed to just saying, no, they're just better prepared than you. They're ready. The Chiefs are ready to go for the Super Bowl in October. Dirty little secret. They were ready to go in October for this game. So they're just better than you. They know what they're doing. They know how to win. Good teams don't make mistakes. Good teams don't shoot themselves in the foot. Good teams don't commit penalties. And here we are talking about, you know, a dynasty and a Kansas City Chiefs team and poking holes in everything that has been just great and wholesome with this organization and with this run that they're on right now.
All right, let's get to Derek Johns, who joins us now here on 96.5 The Fan.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we got to figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Derek Johnson brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all, invested in you, and also Sheet Metal Workers Local number 2. DJ, you gonna make it to Sunday, or you already amped up, ready to run through a wall, put the pads back on, and go take on Saquon Barkley?
No, man, I am ready to get out there and help them win, but I don't have it anymore, unfortunately. But I tell you
okay.
What, man, I will be down for the weekend. I'm not sure if I'll go to the game. I want to watch the game when it's in a comfortable setting. But I tell you what, man, you were right on. I was just listening to you guys about I got an echo right now. I don't know why. Is there an echo going on y'all?
No, we hear you just fine. That's something, you know, we're down in New Orleans and Nathan's back there.
Okay.
There's probably a button he got to hit back there to make sure that, you know, you don't hear the echo. So we'll try to get
that.
We're
on it, DJ,
I promise. We're on it. We'll get that in a second. But you were talking about just kind of listening in earlier.
Yeah, just listening in and you guys talking about the dynasty and being hated. That is so true, man. And that's kind of sucks. It's like, man. You almost have to make up some stuff to poke holes in the Chiefs football team. But instead of hating, man, people need to figure out how to beat us because this train is not stopping, man. We people coming in, you know, in and out of this organization, And now I'm just so proud to be a Chiefs fan. And trust me, everybody that's talking and hating on the Chiefs, they're not Chiefs fans. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I do really believe, DJ, that New England's behavior and the way that they cheated and were just mean and nasty during that 20-year run, I think it really has had a residual effect on the Chiefs because people are just looking for ways to say they're not good instead of saying they're great and let's embrace the greatness that's going on right now. Yeah. We live in such a world where we're always just trying to point out why things shouldn't be working and why things are bad instead of sitting back and go, my God, they're laying the blueprint for the way to do it the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's something that's hard for the world to take, you know, just because we're dominating in a fashion that hasn't been done before. And the way we're doing it, right? Just like mm-hmm. when Patriots did, they did it well, and they were really good. But they had some elements and some events that happened where you say, oh, wow, that's that maybe gave them a little bit of edge, but we're winning in a sense of, man, they're like, hold on, let's pick out something. We have to pick out something. It can't be this great, but it turns out we are.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like people just don't want to believe and don't want to accept that some teams can just be greater than everybody else and better at things, like the little things and doing the right things all the time. Like, people are having a hard time embracing that the Chiefs just do everything better and at a different level right now than everybody else in the NFL.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I'm proud to be a champion. When you look at it, it's just unbelievable, man, from offense to defense. Don't get me wrong, we have Pat Mahomes. We have people that are superstars on our team. But I tell you what, man, you cannot sit here and not talk about our defense and what Spags has done during this run, during this dynasty, and being able to come back to the Super Bowl and have a chance for a three-peat. That is unbelievable. I mean, I think we had that on our mind at the beginning of the season. Most people, that'll get them distracted. Like, we're very mature. Andy Reid's a big part of all of this success at the end of the day, and he has these guys in position to do something that's never been done in the history of the National Football League, which is that's crazy.
DJ, when you see the storylines that are maybe not as talked about as much because we haven't seen a whole lot of people practice, but you got to think that with Philadelphia's left guard and their center being pretty banged up and not 100% chance they're going to go for this game on Sunday, seeing that as a middle linebacker, when you know that that's where they're wounded, you know, is that where Spags will focus, or will he kind of, you know, still go to the beat of his own drum?
The good thing about National Football League, it's all about matchups and being able to see where the weak link is. That's a thing. That's actually a skill that Spags and other defensive coordinators and other coordinators in the league they try to figure out, because somehow you got to get the edge. Like, regardless of who's in the Super Bowl, like, everybody's pretty good. So we're all pretty even. This is not going to be a game where you say, oh, somebody's going to, you know, really have the upper hand. We're the top of the tier. So it's going to be freaking close the whole way through. How do you get that extra edge? Do you put Chris Jones on a guy that hasn't played much? Or do you do some TE games with the defensive line just to give them some different looks, or line up in an exotic look just to get them all flustered because they have a couple guys that haven't played much? So it's going to be fun to see what Spags comes out. But trust me, it's not going to be regular, whatever he does.
No, it's going to be something, you're right, that we haven't seen. And again, that goes to the beauty of what this organization is all about, presenting things to the opposition that they've never seen before, things that they're not ready for, just being more, in tone or in touch, I guess you could say, with details than the other teams are. And, I mean, we saw a play, what was it, in this last game against Buffalo, Houston, the quarterback, rollout sneak for a touchdown and whatnot. Like, things that we haven't seen before on offense, things that we haven't seen before on defense. Was the Buffalo game?
Yeah.
You keep the opposition off guard. You keep the opposition on their toes. And that's why they're good. Like, you can study tape for hours of these guys, but you know there's going to be stuff on there that you have never seen before. And just to kind of go back to Spags and how good he is, Nazi Johnson said last week, we knew exactly where, these guys were going to go. We knew exactly what was going to happen because they're prepared better. Like Dave Tobe being prepared on a field goal block. Like, these coaches just prepare their guys better than everybody else.
Yeah, that's a great point. Being able to stop the run also helps you to get in these exotic looks, especially on the defense side of the ball. That you got to earn the right to rush the pass. You got to earn the right to pull out those special exotic plays that Spags has thrown up, and all the guys love being able to play a regular two-man coverage, but make it look all exotic, and they're moving just kind of. I saw a couple clips the other day. And I'm like, man, the quarterback has to be flustered. He has to hold the ball longer because Spags gives him so many different disguises, so many different looks. But at the end of the day, being able to have Nick Bolton, those guys in the middle to help stop the run, so we can earn the right to pull out those exotic plays. It's going to be a task. It's going to be tough. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Saquon is Saquon. So this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun.
How would you approach Saquon Barkley in this game if you were playing the Nick Bolton position, the captain of that defense? Like, how do you stop this guy?
Well, you got to get enough people around the ball. Everybody has to. When you're in a game, it's not. That guy's on the tackle. Let me jog over here. Everybody is running like their heads on fire to the ball because Saquon will make a couple people miss. That's happening, right? And as a coach, you're not coaching on the sideline. Hey, you got to grab him at the legs. You got to make sure you hold on. And no, we know all that. Hey, you do the best you can. Somebody else is coming because he's going to make a couple people miss. But that's when the ball comes out. That's when you can have an opportunity to punch it out, do that peanut punch or whatnot. But you got to get enough people around the ball to tackle this guy. One person is not going to – I don't care how good you are on defense. One person is not going to take this guy down. We need a few more players, which we do have. Our defense is really good, not just defensive linemen and linebackers, but our DBs can tackle too. So we got a lot of active guys that'll be around Saquon. So I'm pretty confident that not that we will shut him down, but we will minimize him where he is not a factor that really handicaps us during the game.
Yeah, because I think, quite honestly, DJ, he's the only guy that has the ability to beat the Chiefs. And if they shut him down, boom, I think this is a game that the Chiefs go ahead and win in a pretty big way.
Yeah. And you want to put Hurts in that situation. Not that Hurts can't throw the ball, but when things are very comfortable, just like Lamar Jackson, when things are very comfortable for these running quarterbacks that can throw, if you can't stop them, their running game and that offense and what they do over there, it's going to be a long it's going to be a long day because Hurts can run too. So it's you don't want to get into that problem. You want to stop that early. Now DB's going to have to play some one-on-one down the field for that to happen. So we're going to have some 50-50 balls that's going to be up in the air, and we're going to have to come down with them.
Yeah, and that's ultimately what you got to do, get the big play, get the turnover, force that team into a mistake, and you got an opportunity to win.
Yeah. And do we have the confidence to do it? Absolutely. We can win, literally. Like, we're probably the only team in the National Football League that can win any fashion. Literally any fashion. I mean, it comes from getting sacked, or it comes from getting interceptions. It comes from special teams, kick return, or block punt, or and obviously on the offense side of the ball, you don't think that we are a big running team, but guess what? We can win running the ball. Like, we could win running the ball, and we know about Pat and what he can do with his arm and Kelsey and those guys, and being able to have those weapons on the outside. This is going to be fun. I really don't know how we're going to get the win, because we've won every single way this season. I know Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to figure it out, and it will come down to the wire every single time, and usually we come out with a dub.
Well, DJ, two things. Did we fix the echo for one?
Yes, we did. We did. Okay. Halfway through, I'm like, oh, man, I can roll now.
Praise be. And then, two, hey, I've only been in New Orleans for 24 hours. Do you have any advice for me food-wise, or, like, what I should do in recreational downtime?
Oh, my goodness. What can't you do down there? I mean, when it comes to just – make sure you keep drinking water, if that makes sense.
Okay, no, I understand. Yeah, yes, sir. Hey, man, enjoy the game. Enjoy the road to the three-peat. We appreciate the time, and hopefully we're talking to you on a Victory Monday a week from today.
Oh, yeah. Let's go Chiefs, baby.
No doubt about it. Derek Johnson, Community American Credit Union. Community American Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you, and Sheet Metal Workers, local number two. That's what's brought to you by Derek Johnson there here on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, it is that time for you to name that year. Coming up on the other side, we'll do that for you. Remember, name the year, and you have a chance to win $500 Hy-Vee gift card. So on the other side, we'll play an audio clip. You call Nathan. You figure out name that year. You'll be a candidate to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. And don't forget, we are also broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. We are live on Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. Name that year. Nathan, you've got the audio. You go ahead and play it, and then you'll take caller number five for whoever can name that year right by the judgment of this audio clip.
Santos. Lines it up, puts his right foot into the ground. Winchester turns his left shoulder to wait for the ready signal. So does Colquitt, waiting for the snap. Paceman is down. Santos's kick is lined up. That kick is gone. He got it. Santos gets it just barely inside the left upright, and the Kansas City Chiefs have won in overtime with an improbable victory. That kick hit the left upright and went over. It hit the left upright and then just caromed off the inside right upright. A Suchier ball. And all of Brazil rejoices again.
So if you know the year, caller number five right now, and you will qualify to win that Hy-Vee gift card. $500 to Hy-Vee could be yours at the end of the week. What we're going to do is we're going to take a qualifier each week, or each day this week, and caller number five will be the winner. They will qualify, and then one of our five qualifiers at the end of the week will win that $500 gift card with Hy-Vee, and let Hy-Vee do all of your game day shopping with their aisles online. Just place your online order and schedule a convenient pickup or delivery time. Place your order today and get a 75-cent per gallon fuel discount with any $125 purchase. Hy-Vee has everything you need in one convenient place. Hy-Vee, the official grocery partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
913-586-7965, that number, and the text line number that is brought to you by the J. Southland Tow Service text line as well. So I was surprised that you watched as much Pro Bowl as you watched.
Oh, I didn't watch any of it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were locked
in. Nope, not for me.
I didn't even know they did the skill set games during the week.
I didn't either. Not my thing.
Didn't even know they'd have it on Sunday at noon.
Didn't either.
Thought that maybe you'd have it on a little bit later.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So you just no TV at all when football's over?
Spring training baseball will be starting here soon. I'll be watching a lot of that.
That's close to Pro Bowl.
It's better.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know what that product is anymore. And I'm not here to defend J.J. Watt because he was the one saying that, you know, guys should, you know, really not, like, you know, decide to take off the Pro Bowl and actually play and participate in it. Maybe that's why it could be a better product. But they went to flag football 7-on-7. They went to a skill set where I think at one point they were wearing Hulk hands to catch footballs. And then the questions, did you see that?
Oh, my gosh.
So the receivers went through a set.
Ugh.
And one of them was they had to catch balls from a jug one-handed with coming out of like a pitching machine. You could only use one hand. Had to be okay. A one-hand catch. The next step was they had to put on like these oversized white gloves and catch a football. Then they had to jump over a bag or jump onto a landing bag and catch a diving catch.
Well, I'm surprised this isn't your thing, Bob. This sounds titillating.
I heard a lot of Taylor Swift's friends are not rooting for the Chiefs this week. I mean, like, that to me is more – like, the Pro Bowl thing is just – I mean, why do we do this anymore?
Why are people surprised that Taylor's friends from back home don't root for the Chiefs? She grew up in Philadelphia.
Right. Like,
why are you worried about that? Why are you concerned?
That is the number two story on the Philadelphia newspaper this morning. As we were talking storylines earlier for what's going on in this game, and we talked about Saquon Barkley being
They're
a big storyline. The storyline is, yes, Taylor Swift's friends are now not going to be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs because obviously they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, I don't know what the surprise is into that, but storylines continue to get pushed forward. Storylines continue to get talked about, and people continue to look around and say Taylor Swift is still the biggest storyline that's happening, you know, around the Super Bowl. Other than the football aspect of things for us, the Taylor Swift phenomenon is still there, and people will find anything to turn into a headline because they know everybody's going to click on that kind of thing. So her friends aren't rooting for the Chiefs this week.
Shout out to Steve, our first qualifier of name that year, to qualify for $500 at Hy-Vee for yourself. Thanks to Nathan holding things down back home. You know, Max out here getting dishes and donuts and oranges and muffins and yogurt.
Live it up, Mac.
Water.
Live it up.
There you go. That's right, baby.
Trying, brother. Thank you, man.
Yeah. No, I don't know, man. I mean, the storylines are interesting. The way that people have this, I get it. Like, I understand it. Like, people are tired of hearing about it. But the thing is like, I don't know. You always get contradicted sometimes via text line or by people. It's like, well, then why are you guys talking about it? It's like, because we're making a mockery of it. It's not like we're giving you the fuel to, like, create storylines. It's just, like, know your crowd. Like, if a guy went to Columbia and, you know, was a Mizzou Tiger, like, as a college student and then becomes a famous, like, people that would be like, why the hell is John Hamm rooting for Mizzou? Because he went there.
Yeah.
Oh, why would Taylor Swift's friends want to root for Philadelphia? Because they're from there.
Because they're from there, yeah.
She moved to Nashville when she got older and became famous. She grew up in Philadelphia. That's why everyone's like, well, her dad was wearing a Philly jersey and now he was wearing a Chiefs jersey.
Yeah.
He's a turncloak. Or he really loves his daughter and supports everything she does, and her boyfriend is the guy that plays for the Chiefs.
Right, yeah. Like things happen. Life changes. Decisions, you know, change and who you root for and whatnot. And if, you know, your daughter married somebody that played for the Oakland Raiders and was the biggest star in the game, you'd probably become an Oakland Raider fan because you love your kid. And so that's just kind of the way, you know, things go. And so I do think there's going to be a lot of that as well this week of people trying to, you know, run down the Chiefs from that standpoint with the whole Taylor Swift thing, and that's going to drive some people nuts. I'm sure there's a lot of people here, a lot of beef on Radio Row that probably gets offended that Taylor Swift is, you know, being looked at, being talked about maybe more so than the game. But again, this is more so than a game. We're not at the Super Bowl because of that game that's taking place for an entire week here. We're here because of everything that's going on leading up into this game. Mm-hmm. It is the biggest pop culture event of the year in the United States. It's one of the biggest days on the calendar, not just the sports calendar, but on any calendar. You're going to be 100 and some million people watching this on Sunday, and it has a lot more to do than with the game. Yes, we're going to be dialed in because of the game, but I will guarantee you the majority of people aren't dialed in. They don't care who wins. They're at a Super Bowl party. They want the halftime. They want the Taylor Swift. They want the commercials, and that's just what moves the needle. It's business, right? And Taylor Swift is great for this Super Bowl business because I think they said about 30% of the fans that are going to be watching this thing are probably going to be watching just to see Taylor Swift a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that the main storyline, or maybe one of the storylines that everyone should be focused on, is the fact that it is, you know, the Chiefs defensive line against that Philadelphia offensive line, which is a little bit beat up, which
I don't remember or recall, I guess, the Tampa Bay series, because that was such a weird time to be in sports radio. Like, how many people were bringing up the fact that the Chiefs' offensive line was beat up during that time?
Yeah, we were.
It more like it's Mahomes versus Brady in the Super Bowl? It's, you know, whatever the COVID year is. But it's, you know, this team beat Tampa Bay earlier in the scene, beat the absolute snot out of them. This is Mahomes, Brady, round three or round two, whatever it is. It's for the Super Bowl. But there was an underlining thing that was like, yeah, but the Chiefs' offensive line is beat up, and that defensive line for the Bucs is pretty good.
Yeah, but I think at that point in time, though, I mean, like, that was a year where you didn't expect Tampa Bay, obviously, to be in the Super Bowl. And then they went on that run in the postseason. All of a sudden, they're there. You're like, man, I thought, okay, we'll play Tampa. I'm good with that. Eventually, they're going to run out of steam. And, yeah, the offensive line for the Chiefs is banged up, but we still have Patrick Mahomes. And at that point in time, you looked at Patrick Mahomes, which you still do. He can overcome all. And so, for me, I just never considered that to be a true storyline of the Super Bowl when they were playing Tampa, because I just thought Patrick Mahomes would overcome all odds and find a way to get it done regardless. And with the success that Andy Reid's had over the years and Andy Heck has had over the years with offensive linemen, they seemingly just throw five guys out there, and it works. They just ran out of guys that they could throw out there. And if I'm not mistaken, like, I think Mike Remmers was a starter in that Super Bowl, and I don't know that he was even on the roster for the championship game. Like, it got down to that, where they were literally finding people off the street to have to come in and play that offensive line. So it was as depleted as you could possibly be. I don't know if the Eagles' defensive or offensive line is as depleted as that was, because I don't know enough about the Philadelphia Eagles to know about the inner workings of their offensive line like we did for the Chiefs. But if there are guys that are banged up, then you do have to take advantage of that. And Steve Spagnuolo will. That's why you have eight defensive linemen that are so fired up and fresh and ready to go in a rotation that's second to none. And that's how you take advantage of their offensive line. You just keep throwing fresh bodies at them. And if guys are fresh and healthy and fast and moving, that offensive line is eventually going to get worn down. So I'd love to see that to be the kind of matchup where the Chiefs just dominate and take advantage of a unit that's weak right now for Philadelphia.
Do you want to take a stab at what year it was that Kairi Santos hit that field goal and Mitch went nuts?
2016.
Nice. There you go.
Nice.
Did you know that? Or just...
I did.
Oh, dang it.
How did you know it?
Nathan told me.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, don't sit here and be an ass. Like, you didn't know it at the top of your head.
No, Nathan told me.
It's so frustrating. Like, just let us have fun with the year. 2016, because Bob Fesco was told by Nathan we couldn't have fun with it. But on the other side, we move along live from Radio Row in New Orleans. And don't forget, we are live here in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is geared up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. We'll be right back on the other side, and there's one thing that we need to know. The rosters, Eagles, Chiefs, what they will say, but what really is important when it comes down to all of it here in New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for 96.5 The Fan. I mean, it's your home for Kansas City sports.